Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I hope everyone had a wonderful Independence Day yesterday, even considering all of the circumstances. While it's disappointing that McFarland, Wamego, so many other places all canceled or postponed their Independence Day celebrations due to the coronavirus, that does not detract from the fact that we enjoy great freedom as citizens of this country. And so it is in that context that it seems rather appropriate today to look at our Old Testament reading together, and specifically what God says about the governance of our world. After all, as I pointed out in my sermon last week, all earthly authority comes from God as the creator and ruler of all things. The fourth commandment instructs us to honor all of those in authority over us, not just parents. And good government is listed in as one of the blessings of daily bread included in the Lord's Prayer, for which we pray in the fourth petition, "Give us this day our daily bread." And so we should and do pray for our government, and we also look to what God says about his governance. So what does God have to say about our government and about himself as our king? Well, when we look at our Old Testament reading, we see three very important things. We see first off that good government is humble. The king that Zechariah describes is not raised up and lording it over. Instead, it says, "Behold, your king is coming to you, righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." And so, this king is not going to be mounted on a war horse or riding on the front of a tank. This king is humble. God instructed Israel in selecting a king for themselves that the king should not be one to amass fortunes and wives for himself. In Deuteronomy 17, he says, "He," meaning the king, "must not acquire many horses for himself. He shall not acquire many wives for himself, lest his heart turn away, nor shall he acquire for himself excessive silver and gold." The idea being that all of these things can lead to arrogance. And so a humble ruler is necessary. A humble government is interested in the good of others, of the citizens, not of itself. Going on, the second thing we see is that good government is peaceable. You know, Zechariah says starting from verse 10, "I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem. The battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace to the nations. His rule shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth." This king that Zechariah is describing is not interested in the weapons of war. He cuts off the chariots. He's not interested in war horses or bows. In fact, this king removes these things from the land entirely. Instead, this king wants peace. He brokers treaties to end the wars. Now, David, the ideal king in the Old Testament, lifted up by all through the Psalms, give or take, as being as close to a perfect king as Israel had in the Old Testament, he was a man of war. God told him that he could not build the temple because he was a man of war and had spilled blood in so many wars at God's command. Solomon, the king during Israel's glory age, an even greater king than David, arguably, exercised dominion over most of the Near East from what would become Babylon, all the way to even the Hittites up north around modern-day Turkey, even as far as Egypt. And in part, he did this by having a sizable standing army, including cities dedicated to the upkeep of his chariot force. They were not the kind of kings who would just burn all of their chariots and hamstring all of their war horses. But this king, the one that Zechariah describes, focuses his efforts on peace. Now, you can say, make love, not war, all you want, but a good government actively seeks to preserve peace, though not at the expense of justice. And that is the third thing that we see from Zechariah, that's in verse 12. He says, verse 11, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Verse 12, return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope. Today I declare that I will restore to you double. A good king sets free the prisoners who are imprisoned unjustly. And so good government is just. It's not enough to just avoid war. A good government also seeks to promote justice for all people. When Zechariah describes setting prisoners free, you can't help but be reminded of the prophet Jeremiah, or I can't. When during the siege of Jerusalem, Jeremiah is thrown into an empty cistern that's a pit dug for water to hold water because of Jeremiah's message. He was punished unjustly at the behest of a weak-willed monarch who then 5 minutes later gave in to different pressure to release him from that pit. Joseph, the son of Israel, was also thrown into a pit unjustly by his brothers. When both of them were released, it was for the ultimate purpose of God's justice. A good government seeks justice, defending those who are oppressed, speaking for those who do not have a voice, punishing those who are guilty, and releasing those who are innocent. Now, one of the ways that God does all of this is through earthly authorities. Our government is charged with doing all of these things on God's behalf, as Paul lays out very clearly in Romans chapter 13. Earthly governments are established by and exercise authority on behalf of God. All authority derives from God as the creator and ruler of this earth, of this universe. And so God places the sword in the hand of the king or the emperor or whoever it is, whatever authority it is, to wield the sword for him on his behalf to punish the wrongdoers, to defend the weak. And so we do, because they are exercising authority on God's behalf, we do owe to those in authority over us the same honor and respect that we owe to God because they are his representatives. And yet, they are not the authority themselves. They themselves are placed under the authority of God, who gives them that authority to seek what God would want, to govern according to God's decrees. And so a good earthly government will also be humble, be peaceable, be just. This means that political leaders putting the needs of the nation ahead of their own needs and desires, humbly serving those who are their citizens or subjects. The earthly government is humble, not using the public trust for their own enrichment. This means acting in ways that are right, not just in whatever way will bring them the most personal fame and recognition. A good earthly government is humble and peaceable. That means not seeking violence, not seeking war. This doesn't mean pacifism, but it means restraint. There's a long-standing theological argument about the concept of just war. What is it that makes war just? And theologians disagree on this. Some will say that there is no such thing as a just war. Some will say, no, that's kind of silly. There is such a thing as a just war. I would say that war is justified when it is for the protection of the weak and not for selfish reasons. And so a good earthly government will be just, balancing peace and justice. This means advocating for those who are weak and helpless. This means stamping out oppression, whatever form it takes. This means enacting and enforcing laws in a way that aligns with God's law. But unfortunately, our earthly governments are all subject to the same failing as all humans are. You are, I am, sin. Sin infects us, sin infects governments as well. And it is magnified by their greater trust. Our governments do not always put their citizens first. Our politicians can, and perhaps do, act arrogantly. I don't think I need to enumerate the ways that politicians can serve themselves instead of their people. Our governments do not always seek after peace and can instead actively court war. How many wars have been started by greed rather than a desire for justice or helping the oppressed? How much foreign policy has harmed innocent people instead of helping them, regardless of the intent? Our governments do not always act justly because they can pervert justice and ignore the voice of the oppressed. Think of the unborn who are slaughtered because their voice cannot be heard. Or think of our own nation's history of racism from which we are still trying to escape. So are earthly governments good? Yes and no. Politicians are sinners just like the rest of us. But they are only regents and servants. The true ruler of all things is not Governor Kelly, is not President Trump. It is our divine King, the one whom Zechariah foresaw in our reading. In God's kingdom, our King is humble. In Matthew chapter 20, Jesus says that the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. He came to serve, not to be served, he is humble. Jesus is the fulfillment of Zechariah's prophecy, the king who rode into Jerusalem humbly mounted on a donkey to fulfill all the Old Testament prophecy. Our divine King is not interested in his own advancement. He puts the needs of his people, meaning us, ahead of himself. So in God's kingdom, there is true and lasting peace. As Micah foresaw in chapter 5, he shall be their peace. Now, Jesus did not come to conquer and usher in peace through conquest. That can disappear in the blink of an eye when someone more powerful appears. Jesus instead came to bring lasting peace. The lasting peace which can only come from God. Peace between man and God. A peace whereby God reconciles people to each other through himself. And in God's kingdom, there is perfect justice. God doesn't do this by simply punishing all evildoers, which is a good thing because that includes all of us as well, because everyone is a sinner. Instead, God punishes all sin by meting out the perfect punishment unto the one person who could receive that punishment, taking it on himself. Why would he do this? Part of justice means advocating for the oppressed. We were oppressed by sin. Jesus removed that oppressor. We were oppressed by the devil, and Jesus overthrew him. We were oppressed by death, and Jesus defeated and overcame death and swallowed it up forever. He took on himself the complete price for our justification, doing it as our king. He advocated for us when we had no voice. So yes, we do thank God for giving us this nation and all of the freedoms we enjoy here. We do pray for our political leaders of whatever stripe, that God will guide them to lead in the ways of godliness and peace. We do submit to our government leaders, our earthly rulers, as God's representatives on earth. But we also recognize that they are simply the deputies, that they are fallen and sinful just as much as you are, or I am, or any human being is. We pray that God will call them back to himself in repentance for the times that they break the public trust, and we pray that God will enlighten them to serve him properly. And most especially, we pray that God will continue to rule over us as our king. After all, Jesus is our Lord and King, not our president, not our governor, Jesus. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord, unto life everlasting, living in his kingdom. Amen.